Earnings and more earnings.
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Tis the season for earnings. Here at Marketplace, the quarterly reports are stacked so high we can't even see. So we'll stick with the highlights. Today, Swiss drug maker Roche said sales were up 17%. All this talk of bird flu has people buying the company's Tamiflu, even though there's no evidence it'll work against that disease. Intel also had a banner quarter with record revenues. Notebook computer sales helped the chipmaker. And Yahoo also reported a solid quarter after the bell yesterday. Sticking with the theme, banks are tearing it up this earnings season. We'll get reports from Bank of America, among others, today. Marketplace business editor Cheryl Glazer looks at why.
Dig into the books of banks that are making money, and you'll find two things. Number one, many are collecting higher fees on everything, from credit and debit cards to mortgages. Number two, they're making more commercial loans, says Morningstar analyst Craig Woker.
A lot of what's going on there is pent-up demand. Businesses finally have a better view of what's going to happen in their near-term horizon. And as a result, they're going to their banks and saying, you know what, we're more willing to take out loans. Business is picking up. Our demand is good. And we've got to start investing in our business.
But it could be hard for banks to keep up the pace. Competition in the home loan business is getting tougher and tougher, and interest rates are on the rise. That's putting the squeeze on banks' profit margins, the difference between how much interest they collect from borrowers and how much they pay to savers. I'm Cheryl Glazer for Marketplace.
One company that's staging a comeback is IBM. Its earnings this week beat Wall Street expectations. Now, let's be clear, this isn't your father's company. Stacey Vanek-Smith explains.
Big Blue is back. After dominating the early computer market, IBM stumbled in the 90s as business mainframes gave way to personal computers. But earlier this year, IBM sold off its PC arm and headed in an entirely new direction.
We're looking at a new IBM.
Tech consultant Tim Beharin says Big Blue's new focus is on high-tech consulting.
Their CEO shifted the company away from being just a hardware company to one that's focused on services to enterprise accounts and medium small businesses.
Beharin predicts the new IBM will do well. He says consulting has better profit margins than hardware, and even if the economy slows, Beharin says businesses will always need up-to-date technology. I'm Stacey Vanek-Smith for Marketplace.
One other note about IBM, the company is sending a memo today to its 133,000 employees in the U.S. IBM's giving them the option to access medical records online. The company pledges the records will be kept confidential. As we told you this week, the United Auto Workers agreed to let GM cut their health benefits. Yesterday, the union and two retirees filed suit against General Motors. Say what? Well, the union hopes the lawsuit will prevent legal challenges from other retirees to the health care cuts. The Dow fell 62 points to 10,285. The S&P 500 lost almost 12 to 1,178. The NASDAQ closed down 14 to 2056. Oil prices are down to about 62.82. This is Marketplace. Today, the Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation Forum, or APEC, meets in Korea. At the top of the agenda, big surprise, oil. Rachel Dornhelm reports.
21 countries, including the U.S., Canada, China, and Japan, make up APEC. The special energy meeting isn't surprising, says Johns Hopkins professor Charles Duran. For one, APEC countries consume about 60% of the world's energy. And he says Asian countries are typically very concerned about their reliance on imports.
There is a huge rush in Asia to claim every rock, every island, so that they can claim 200-mile extensions of that for drilling rights.
Duran says North American governments may use this meeting to suggest competition over drilling rights be resolved through international mediation. I'm Rachel Dornhelm for Marketplace.
Which is produced and distributed by American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Fannie Mae, working with our partners to increase homeownership and affordable rental housing opportunities for more Americans. Fannie Mae, fanniemae.com. By the Medtronic Foundation, partnering with national patient associations to educate and support patients and their families. The Medtronic Foundation, medtronic.com. And by Toyota, designing vehicles with hybrid synergy drive for fuel efficiency and low emissions. More at toyota.com. Toyota, moving forward.
This is Marketplace. I'm Scott Jagow. Chances are you know a struggling artist or two. How many of them have health insurance? Think about it. They probably don't have day jobs. So it's a good bet they're among the 45 million Americans without insurance. As Jess Mador reports, one New York hospital is reaching out to the artist community.
Susan Tang is 54 years old. After a long and successful career as a muralist and book illustrator, Tang recently went freelance. She said goodbye to her full-time schedule and her family's health insurance.
I haven't been to a doctor in a long time, and if I absolutely have to go, then I go, and I sort of have to save up.
That lack of insurance has brought Tang to Brooklyn's Woodhull Hospital. Today, she's teaching young patients how to make paper mache. They're decorating their projects with little bits of plastic.
See? I like this one. It's nice and silver.
The class is part of the hospital's Artist Access Program. Dr. Edward Fishkin conceived the program after hearing the story of a dancer who lost his leg and later died. The dancer endured years of hip pain because he couldn't afford to see a doctor. Fishkin says he realized neighborhood artists also lacked access to health care.
We knew they were moving into the neighborhood. We weren't seeing them at all in the hospital. So this was a way to reach out to them.
The Artist Access Program works like this. Artists who earn less than $37,000 a year but too much to qualify for Medicaid submit applications describing a project they'd like to offer. If accepted, they teach or perform for patients under hospital supervision. For every hour of art, they get $40 towards health care that's already heavily subsidized. Laura Colby is an artist agent.
You can get anything under the roof. So for dancers, physical therapy is available. You can get your teeth cleaned and maybe on the next visit, blood work.
Doctor's time, nurse's time, vaccinations, medicines, those are all real things that could have been used for somebody else in some other way.
Economics professor Lawrence White teaches at New York University's Stern School of Business. He says bartering art for healthcare could land the hospital on the losing end of the deal.
You've got to be concerned about what the real costs are, both in administering and in delivering. And that's harder to measure when you don't have a monetary transaction.
But artist Tang says so far, trading art for healthcare has been well worth it.
It gives a lot of dignity to the process because you can earn your way, and hopefully I'll do more hours than they'll ever have to reimburse me for.
The Artist Access Program just launched, but word of mouth is spreading fast. The pilot program already has more than 200 clients and a full roster of art, music, and dance lined up. Once the kinks are worked out, the city plans to expand the program to hospitals throughout the five boroughs. In New York, I'm Jess Mador for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening, and enjoy your day.
American Public Media.
After the earthquake in Pakistan.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.